May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This Sunday, we tend to always get caught up in the story of Doubting Thomas. We hear the story of Doubting Thomas and we expect the pastor to preach once again about how doubting is okay. Or that we shouldn't doubt and that God gives us wisdom on how to see and we see and believe. And these are great, and even last Sunday I preached on it. But there's something else in there. This is the end of the Gospel of John's story, and I think we miss a major thing that happens. Here John gives the synopsis of the story. And it's fascinating, if you read it, that you get there and Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace be with you." And he says, "Here, touch my hands and my feet." And then he says, "Guess what? Your mission here is to go about forgiving people. To forgive sins." And then there's that little caveat. And then there's that retaining sins that he puts in there. And he says, "This is it. Here's the Holy Spirit. Receive it. Go about it and do that." Now, this is very different than in Matthew, where Matthew's sending message is, "Go therefore, make disciples, baptizing the nations in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be there with you always." That's the sending in Matthew, right? The sending is go and let's gather people. The sending in the Gospel of Luke, we find in the Acts of the Apostles. When they're sitting around, they're sitting in the air, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit descends upon them, and whether it's wind or fire, and it hits them, and they start speaking in different tongues, and they're going out witnessing to the gospel. But John has a unique way of saying, what is the gospel message? To him, it is a wild and unique forgiveness. Is a forgiveness that goes back to his atonement theory. Atonement in theological parlance is how one is saved by God. And there's three ways that people come to understand the ways of God. And one of them is that when Jesus goes and dies on the cross, it is called the hook theory. Okay? So what, Jesus goes down to hell and the devil thinks he's won, and guess what? He swallowed Jesus up alive, and guess what? God yanks him back up, and guess what? The devil loses. Kind of like a fish, right? It's the fish has a choice. It can either spit out the worm and say yuck, or it can get caught, but whatever happens, that worm is not really down and gone forever. And so there are theologians who sit there and say there's this understanding of the trick, that Jesus tricks him to believe that if Jesus just comes down to die, that guess what? World ends. And Jesus explodes back up, and that's interesting. Theory number one. Theory number two is that there's kind of like the Jonah theory, that the devil swallows up everything, and guess what? It's kind of like Jonah. Instead of Jonah keeps getting in trouble, and he lives in the belly of the fish, and eventually the fish spits him out and starts the mission. But instead, in the resurrection story, the atonement theory, that Jesus does not just rest in the belly of the fish, Jesus explodes the belly of the fish and blows up the fish, and it goes away. The third one that's tradition is the one John likes. It is not liked by a lot of people, and I don't know why, but they say it's quite alarming because it is the sacrificial one. It's the one where we talk about the Lamb of God being placed, and people don't like it because what kind of parent lays their child on the altar and kills them for other people? But it is what John calls. John is the one that uses the language Lamb of God. He is the one who sits there and says that Jesus' marks are important because it shows sacrifice, it shows love, it shows forgiveness that we cannot understand. Because as humans, We cannot understand giving ourselves, nor our children, or anyone else, for someone else, much less someone who hates us, despises us, dislikes us, and does not want it. But John's argument is that God does that for us. So what's the second part? So if God does it for us, then the message that John wants the church, the world to know about God is that we are forgiveness people. We are people who come and give the love of God and forgiveness to all. And so when Jesus comes, the story is just not about Jesus saying, here, touch my hands, touch my feet. It is about touch my hands, touch my feet, so you can see my great love for you. To see this radical love that becomes the great sacrifice for life. That his death is because not to trick somebody, not to defeat the devil, but to be the great sacrifice that ends all sacrifices, that covers all sins. And Jesus does that for us. And when we experience that, when we experience that forgiveness and love, then we can share that with others. What the church, according to John, should be about. It's about being a community, not of always loving each other, not of always being happy-go-lucky, but being a community that says we are together because we love Christ and we are going to work things out. God understands that community is not about, Christianity is not just about me and him, but it's about me and you coming to know him together. And in that community, we have to learn to have forgiveness. One person asked me, what do I think about people coming to create new churches? And I said, it's the same as those who leave churches. God is never happy when we start new churches because we left churches. God's not happy when we leave in anger amongst others. Why? Because God wants us to be able to love beyond our differences, to celebrate with each other. However, the real interesting thing is that God puts in that forgive, but what troubles us and should trouble us is what about that not forgiving? I remember Matthew Riegel speaking about this in his installation, that at every ordination of pastor and every installation of a bishop, that they ask the question, will you take hold of the keys? The keys of the church are these: the ability to forgive sins and to retain sins. If you look at the Pope, his armament is the sign of the keys of Peter. That Luther argued that not that the Pope couldn't hold sins, but that if the Pope could hold sins, then why would he not release them free without a doubt? Because isn't that what God would have us do? So his argument was not that the Pope couldn't retain sins, but that he should release them free without money and without deeds because he could. That's an interesting thing. Why would God give us that? Or the church, or the pastor, whoever you would say. I am not real sure. People have asked, what sins can you retain? I don't know. I think God asks us to forgive almost everything. But it's there. It's a struggle that we as pastors are fearful of. It's a struggle we as a church should be fearful of. Because if we don't forgive others, then how can we forgive ourselves? But that's what is hard. It's easy to ask forgiveness for myself, but it's not easy to give forgiveness to others. But when we want to have that question, whether we should or how should we do it, we are reminded of the hands of Jesus. We're reminded, look what Jesus has done for us and our calling as Christians to forgive, to love, and to care for each other. Because that's the community God calls us to. It could have been very easy for Jesus to come to his disciples and come as an angry God who was upset that they left him when he wanted them to stay with him. He could have been angry when they sat there and didn't show up on the resurrection. He could have been frustrated when they didn't go and proclaim the resurrection. But the reality is God still loved them. People ask me often, can so-and-so still go to heaven? My response is that what I understand from the Gospels is that God will continue to love us, continue to try and get us to come to him as much as he can. That's how loving God is. And if you want to be a follower of God, he says, do the same for others. Amen.